Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity again. And I just want to, well, what Adam said about tomorrow people is celebrating Memorial Day. And I think it's very appropriate for us to just think a little bit about what does that mean, especially with what we're going to read today. Many people has given their lives for the freedom that people has in this nation. And sometimes we don't realize that God has done the same for us. Freedom has a price, and Christ has paid a price for us. And how wonderful is that families of this nation can sit around a table at peace because people has given their lives for them to have peace and being able to be here and gather, and even for the church. And that's what the Lord has done for us as a holy nation. And we one day will be completely at peace. Today we're going to talk a little bit about warfare. And I hope during this time of celebration, we can meditate on what the Lord has done for us too. We're going to read today Ephesians 6:10-13. And I'm going to read it. I'll pray, and then we'll go verse by verse, and I'll talk a little bit about the context of this text so we can understand a little bit what Paul is saying. Let's pray. Let's read it first. I said we're going to read it. Sorry. Okay, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for everything you have done for us, Lord. Thank you for everything that we enjoy because of your sacrifice and the blessings that we have in you, Lord. And I pray that today you can just use your word for us to be able to transform our minds and the way we live. And I pray that we can glorify you, Lord, until the day we die, and that we can be able to testify of who you are to everybody around us, Lord. Thank you so much. Amen. So Paul starts this letter with the word "finally," and he's bringing all these things into a conclusion. We're in the last chapter of Ephesians. But this is a verse that is very known. It's a text that people use to teach kids, and we use it in church, and everybody is very familiar with the armor of God. But sometimes we face a problem when verses become very popular, and is that people start taking things out of context. When they become very popular, it seems like people just use them because they are using it out of context. Sometimes the meaning of the text gets lost. And we have many teachings today about warfare. And there is a teaching out there that they say that we have some sort of power or authority against the enemy, against the devil, against the spiritual things, and they said that we are able to rebuke the devil and say claim things. But is that what the Bible teaches? And that's why I think it's very important for us to pay attention to what the Bible says, what our role is in this battle, in this life that we are living. And I want us I want to go back again, and I know I've been doing this a lot, but I think it's important for us to have the context to go back and see what Paul has been saying. So when we read this, we know what he means. So Paul started in the letter telling us everything about what God has done for us. And then he said who we are. Remember, he said that we were strangers. We were dead in our sins. We were darkness. We were enemies of God. And then he said who we are in Christ. And he says that we are sons. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we have all these blessings. Then he actually said everything we have received in Christ and are all these spiritual blessings. And we have an inheritance. And after this, he gave us a standard of life. He set some standards of living. And he told us how to live as an individual. He said that we should be imitators of God as beloved children, walking in love as children, as Christ loved us. Walk as wise and not as unwise. Then he said, he told us how to live in fellowship in the church. And he said that we have to live addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks always and submitting one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he brought all those standards to the home, to the most intimate place, which is our homes. And then he said that husbands should love their wives and their wives should submit to their husbands. And then children should obey their parents and they should, children obey their parents and parents bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we see that God has given us these standards of how we need to live. Something that is very important to notice in this is that in chapter 3, I'm not sure if you remember, in chapter 3, Paul prayed for the church. And if you go to verse 14 of chapter 3, it says, "For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glories, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So when we read chapter 3 and we compare it with chapter 6, you see that he's connecting pretty much the whole letter because he's praying for strength for the believer. And as I was telling you, many people will use this type of verses in isolation, but what Paul is saying here and something that I was thinking about on the way here is the way that this letter is structured, and everything in the beginning seems to be spiritual. And he's giving us knowledge of God and everything he has done and what he has done for us. And all that spiritual knowledge, then it manifests in the physical. And we are thankful with God. We express our thankfulness with God. And then the Holy Spirit works in us. We're being sealed with the Holy Spirit and we start walking. And then he says, this is the way you need to live because you have all this in Christ. So many of the things that we receive spiritually, they manifest in the physical. And then we see all the practical thing in the middle of the letter. And now we come to this chapter 6 and he's going back to the spiritual. And I want us to, when I told you, there's many people that they say that we receive some type of authority from God to against the devil. But if we go to Jude 1:9, I'll just read it for you here. Jude 1:9 says, "But when the archangel Michael contending with the devil was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." You see, an angel, he didn't rebuke the devil. And so we need to understand what's our role in this battle. Because it's very interesting that we've been called to fight. And we see Paul saying that at the end of his career, saying that he fought the good fight. So what does this mean in the life of the believer? Now let's go to verse 10. And just, I'll read here just a piece of it, and we are going to go in there. "Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength and in the strength of his might." In other words, if you translate this from the Greek, it doesn't really say be strong. It says, it's pretty much saying find your strength in the Lord, or be strengthened in the Lord. So there is a verse talking about verses that they get misused. Philippians 4:13, right? That verse, many people, you see athletes having tattoos about Philippians 4:13, because it says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." But when Paul is talking about this strength in this passage, remember, he is in jail. He's talking about contentment. He's actually saying, telling the church that whatever he's going through, either is poverty or in wealth, God is going to be the one who will sustain him to go through whatever he's going through. And that's the meaning of this text. And many times when we hear this part, like to have strength in the Lord, sometimes we confuse our own strength with the strength of the Lord. And sometimes our own strength gets in the way of the strength of the Lord. And I just want to share with you something that I feel like every time I come here, I share a testimony. Because when I relate a lot with all the things that we have been going through here. I remember I had a season, and my wife, she's, you know, she has probably the better testimony than I do. Because I remember going through this season of depression and getting upset for little things. And she was praying for me and things that I shouldn't be upset for. Like I started struggling with anger and things like that just from nowhere. And Sydney told me, why don't we go to somebody at the church who can give us counseling and pray for you? And I'm like, no, I think I'll be fine. I just need to give up my pride and start changing my ways. And so it didn't happen. I kept continuing the same cycle. And until I had to give up. In my own, and you know, trying to do it on my own. So we went to counseling, and I know you know, maybe you know, Clayton Schultz. He's the director of the seminary, and he worked with us. He prayed for us, and I started studying the scriptures. They started praying for us, and little by little, the Lord started restoring everything in me, and it's something that I cannot explain. You know, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. When we let the Holy Spirit work in us and we just give up, that's when we see the strength of the Lord, when we are weak. And also my dad, I remember my dad, as I told you, he had PTSD and he became an alcoholic. And the thing that is interesting to me is that when he became a believer, that I remember I told you the story when he got baptized. For 5 years, he was an alcoholic. And when he gave his life to Christ, he never drank again. And he didn't went to, he didn't go to any program. It was the Lord. And for everybody, it's different. I'm not telling you that the Lord will do that for anybody. You know, it's not the same for everybody. Everybody has their own battles, and the Lord uses his word and people around us, the church, to be able to walk together and bring us to his ways. So for me, there is a guy that I like to listen a lot to. He's a mathematician. He's an apologist. And he said, the word of God is testable. Whoever tells you that the word of God is not testable, they don't know anything, because we can testify. We can see our own lives and the lives of others that have given their lives to Christ. And it's completely different. The way I think today is it's not the same way I thought, or I was thinking 10 years ago. You know, the Lord has been renewing my mind, and it's through the word of God. That's how we grow. We grow through his word. We grow through prayer. I remember also when Moses went to the mountain, up to the Mount Sinai, and the people were waiting for him, and he took too long. So the people, they made this idol. They started worshiping this idol because they felt abandoned. They probably thought, Moses won't come back. God has forsaken us. And then they need to create something. Because when we worship God, we're telling him that we're putting all our trust in, and we're recognizing that we cannot do anything besides away from God. That's why our worship is important, because it's our worship should be daily. It's a lifestyle. This is an act of worship. But when you go back home, it shouldn't stop the way you live. And then we have God himself being the one who fought for us. Exodus 14, 13 through 14 says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. I think in some versions it says you have to be still. So this warfare is spiritual, so we need spiritual strength. And as we just saw, the way we get our strength is through the things that God has given us, like his word, prayer, worship, being able to worship together as a congregation. And we have access to all these things. And something that is important to understand with this is that this armor that God is going to talk later, Paul is going to talk later in this chapter, this armor is not for a moment. Once you wear this armor, it's going to be for life. Because we're going to be in a battle. We are enemies of the devil. And he's watching you. And the things that this armor possesses are things that Paul already told us in this letter. And you read later in the text later, when he's talking about the armor, he's going to say that the belt of truth, you have to wear the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. So, this armor you're going to have to wear for life, because if you don't have it, you're going to be attacked a lot, especially now that you're walking in the Lord. You know, so
Somebody said this: the devil is not looking for people in the bar. The devil is not looking for people in places where sin is everywhere. The devil is looking for people in the church, in your own homes, in the Christian families. Because once you become a believer, you become a threat to the devil. And then, so now that we're gonna go to the go to verse 11. And says, put on the whole armor of God. And the second part says that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And this is the part that I think we need to pay attention. Because we are not called to advance in this battle. We're not called to attack the devil. It says clearly that we are called to stand against the attacks of the enemy. And when somebody stands, it's a resistance. When you see an army that is sent to stand in a position, it's to defend and to resist any attack. And that's our call. Paul actually says about three times in this little section the word stand. You need to stand against the devil. We are not the ones who have to go pick a fight with him. Because if we try, we're going to get destroyed. We are not a match for the devil. That's God's power. God is the one who fights for us. And the devil, when he knows that you are a believer, you have a godly family, everything we have seen in the previous passages about respect, love, submission to one another, all those things, the devil will try to sneak in and destroy it. The first thing he's going to destroy is going to be your home. The Bible says that the devil has come to destroy. And the first thing he's going to destroy, he's going to try to destroy, it's going to be the family. Because if he destroys the family, then he'll come and destroy the church. And those are things that we need to think about when you are in this Christian life. You cannot lower your guard because you are a target as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And the Bible teaches that we are standing in grace, in the gospel, in faith, and in truth. And the devil is going to try to knock you out of those places where you are standing. Because when you are standing in Christ, you are in truth, in grace, and you are in the gospel of Christ. Let's read. I'm going to give you a few verses here just to back up what I just told you. And Romans 5:2 is one of them. And it says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The second one is Corinthians 15:1. And it says, now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. And then faith. We are standing on faith. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy. For you stand firm in your faith. And now standing in the truth. This is just a contrast, what I'm going to give you. This verse, Jesus talking to Pharisees in John 8:44, and says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So if we are in Christ, we are standing in truth. But if we are not, we are not. If we are not in Christ, we are not standing in truth. And now I want to go to this last verse I want to give you here for this. And it's James 4:7. And it says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see the word resist here. And it's the same word that we're talking about, to stand against the devil. And something that I see very interesting here is we're talking about the word submission here and what it means to be in submission. And he says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Because we know when we submit, it's a voluntary act to be under somebody's protection. And that's what we need to do. This is something that I think a lot, and when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit fills us, and then our lives start changing, and we are a testimony to others. But my question for you is, are you capable today to stand against any attack of the enemy? Do you know the scriptures enough? So when somebody comes knocking at your door with a false teaching, can you tell these people is not teaching God's word? Because so those are the things that we need to stand against. And not just when we're talking about, it's kind of interesting that he's calling us to fight. But if you think about it, he's really calling us to rest in him. Because he's the one who is fighting for us. And I know that trust is difficult. Trust is something that for many of us is difficult. And trust fully in God's strength and let our own abilities, it's hard. Because we think that we can do many things. Either is, even if we don't, if we can't, we try because we are full of pride. But that those are the things that we need to surrender to the Lord. And then let's see what he keeps saying in chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers in this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. So, do you have the whole armor of God today? I know you are going to see everything about the armor of God next week. But listen what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 to 9. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. The good thing about all this is that we're not the ones who are fighting. And I know I've been giving you a lot of verses, but the reason why is because I don't have anything good to tell you but God's word. And John 3:8 says, 1 John 3:8, sorry. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what we need to believe and trust God, that everything that we cannot conquer, He's going to conquer for us. We have many things that we need to accomplish as believers. But God is clear that everything that He has done for us spiritually, there are many things that we won't be able to accomplish if we don't give everything to Him. Everything. Many of us maybe have struggled with trusting God, even with finances, with our kids, whatever it is. But what it takes for us to be able to trust in God, and it's just to know Him, to know His word. When you don't know someone, you don't really trust Him. But when you know somebody, when you know them, that's when trust will start coming. And if you know God, you'll see that your trust in Him is going to grow more and more. So, are you prepared for an attack? Again. Because your family is a target. This church is a target. And we need to be watching in prayer and submitting to one another to God, in the Lord. Why don't we pray? And I think we're gonna, I'll pray. And Lord, thank you so much for this time and for your word. Thank you so much because you, Lord, are strong, and you're the one who keep us in your hand, Lord. And I pray that you can just bring your strength in us, that we can stand against the attacks of the enemy, Lord. I pray for this church, for the families of this church, that they can walk according to your word, and that they can trust that you are the only one who provides everything we need. We know we have everything in you, and I pray that you can just use us also to be able to testify to others of your goodness, and to be able to just declare, Lord, to the world everything you have done in our lives, and that we know that without you, we cannot be able to conquer sin. But you have conquered sin, Lord. And if we are in you, we are conquered. Thank you for this time, for your word, and I pray that everything we have learned, Lord, it will bear fruit in our lives, and that we'll be able to walk according to your word. Amen. Please then, let's sing today. Yeah.
Trespasses, as we forgive those